Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Last time on Solving JFK, we covered episodes 39 through 42 with a recap and rebuttals with director Max Good. That included The White Russians, George DeMorenschild, and Ruth and Michael Payne. In this ninth edition of Recaps and Rebuttals today, we move on to the backyard photos and the General Walker shooting. These incidents of taking the backyard photo and then General Walker being shot at occurred within about a 10-day period, with the photo being taken on March 31st and the Walker shooting happening on April 10th. Both the photos and the story of Oswald's shooting at Walker were pivotal to supporting the Warren Report conclusion. And, you know, in fact, for many Warren Report defenders, the backyard photos and the General Walker shooting are the first things that come to mind to point out that the Warren Report was, in fact, correct. The backyard photos show Oswald holding what appears to be the same type of rifle as the one found on the sixth floor. We're going to talk about that in detail today. Also, a revolver in a holster and two communist newspapers. Now, that would, in theory, prove that Oswald did possess the rifle that was found on the sixth floor. Similarly, if Oswald is really the one who fired a shot at General Walker, it makes it much easier to believe that Oswald had the capacity for violence. And if he did it once to General Walker, and, you know, he was shooting at him to try to kill him, it's not really a stretch that he could do the same thing to President Kennedy. I agree, by the way, that if the backyard photos are authentic, it would tend to show that Oswald possessed a similar rifle and revolver. And I also agree that if Oswald did shoot at General Walker, then the likelihood that he shot at President Kennedy as well would certainly be higher, although we do have to remember that it's possible that he is in the backyard photos and he did shoot at General Walker, and he's still doing that as part of a sort of an operation. You kind of get into the weeds on those kind of arguments. So anyway, the real question is whether the Warren Report's claims about the backyard photos and the General Walker shooting are actually supported by the evidence. And that's what we'll continue to unpack today with our returning guest, NFL football executive coach and journalist and JFK assassination scholar, Michael Lombardi.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I don't know what this is all about.
Dallas police this morning resumed custody. The man they have formally charged with the assassination of President Kennedy.
I'm just a part of it.
The man is Lee Oswald.
Was Oswald acting alone, or was he a member of a conspiracy? Commission answers, he acted alone.
Hi, Michael. Thanks again for coming on Solving JFK. It's great to have you.
It's good to be here, man. I appreciate you having me back. I don't know if I'm a scholar, but I am deep down the rabbit hole. I know that. And I came across a quote that I think applies to everything that you do and everything that people that believe in there is a conspiracy. It was by Thomas Sowell. He said, some things are believed because they are demonstrably true, but many other things are believed simply because they have been accepted and repeated with repetition and have been accepted as substance for evidence. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where we are with this. There's a lot of things, the backyard photos in Time magazine. Oh yeah, well that, there you go. Open and shut, this nut job did this, he had to have the photos. And then, you know, the Walker thing to me, you know, we can get to that, but that's a whole other story. But I think
Oh,
to
yeah.
me, there's never any two things that connect one another that make any sense. So, and there's all this evidence is one way, and and look, I don't believe all the conspiracy theories, but I do. If you follow the path, like Armstrong said in his book, it's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, I think so. And before we get into today's topic, I noticed on your most recent appearance on Pat McAfee, you sort of brought up out of the blue. You pivoted to, it's just like with the Warren Report. You gotta look at things issue by issue to see what's really going on. And what I thought was great, it was cool that you did that, but it was great how everybody else who was on the panel immediately got excited because they're like, "Oh, Lonvo's about to go in on a JFK assassination." You're like, you're known amongst football guys as the guy who's,
Yeah.
this is
Well,
a
they
topic of
see me
passion.
attacking Posner all the time. I'm trying to get Posner to debate with James, which he won't do. He won't even acknowledge it. And he keeps repeating this lazy narrative, that he won't even look at any of the evidence. And so, he can't explain any of it. He just says, I'm true.
Yeah.
So it annoys the hell out of me. What annoys me most is when the mainstream media decides what they want to show us and what they don't. That's the root of my whole obsession with this case. It applies in football, it applies in politics. They only want what the story is they want to tell you is the story they want to tell you. It doesn't necessarily have to be the truth. It just has to be the story they want to tell you.
Right. And what we're trying to do here is accurately represent what the arguments are. I want to fairly present. I want to steel man arguments that I'm on the other side of, as opposed to straw manning them. You know what I mean? Just so I think, and that's the whole purpose of recap and rebuttals, to have people put forth, things that maybe push back on what I say. And by the way, I've got five rebuttals today, I believe, and they're from different angles, so I'm getting a hit from both sides. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into it here. Just starting with the backyard photos. They're initially obtained from a search of Ruth and Michael Payne's garage on Saturday, November 23rd, the day after the assassination, in the afternoon. The Dallas police found two of the famous backyard photos that were marked 133A and 133B, as well as a negative for 133B. And those two pictures and the one negative were then turned over to the FBI and reviewed by the Warren Commission. But what's really interesting is the HSCA re-examined this, and all these different images sort of came out of the woodwork. In particular, we've got 133C. It's a totally different pose. So that one is 133C is from Dees slash White, Geneva Dees, which is the widow of Roscoe White. And there's also a 133C from Stovall, who was one of the officers that submitted these to the HSCA. So the question, a big question on 133C, and that was one I wasn't very familiar with, but why would they have one pose that's totally different from the other two and not turn it over to the Warren Commission? I don't know. I mean, I thought that was strange, especially because remember, this is the one that matches up with Officer Bobby Brown,
Yeah.
that he took.
Well, what I found strange is how did Michael Payne know that that was the Neely address when he'd never been behind that house?
Right.
But see, I think everything that's collected from the Payne garage has to be viewed as skepticism. Because I really think if you look at this whole thing as one separate section, then you can analyze the sections. But when you look at it as a true conspiracy, they needed the Payne garage to dump the evidence in. They needed some place to basically make their case. They needed somewhere to put it, and why not put it at the Payne garage? I think when you get to these backyard photos, you have to be really certain that the Paynes are clean. You have to, because anything that comes out of their garage is tainted, it's
Sure.
planted. Everything, was it the right camera? Was Oh, three Dallas police officers didn't find one camera. They come back, find it again. Like there's no chain of evidence or an understanding of it. So whenever they need to shift the narrative, we'll just put it in the Payne's garage. Now, Oswald, they claim, and this is, I've read this, that everything that they took with them to New Orleans came back in Ruth Payne's car into the garage, including the rifle, which Marina said she never saw the rifle in New Orleans.
Well, that's what she said to the HSCA. She said to the Warren Commission that she told the Warren Commission exactly what they want. She's like, I saw him. He had it every single day on the porch, and he was cleaning it every day on the porch. And then all the neighbors say, yes, he was always on the porch reading a book. We never saw a rifle. And incidentally, I was reading about what you're talking about today, leaving New Orleans. Ruth didn't recall anything that could have been a rifle. Michael Payne didn't recall anything that could have been a rifle. Although he goes, oh, and then there was a blanket and a thing, which let's just say it was a rifle. That's what he says. He goes, let's just say it was a rifle. Anyway.
Getting back to the photos, I don't believe they're all some kind of, Oswald says when he sees them, he says they're not true. Now, again, if you want me to believe he's a lone nut, if you want me to believe he has the power to kill and he's an angry human being and he's incapable of anything, then why just not admit that he took the photos? Marie doesn't even know how to work the camera.
Right. She doesn't.
And yet she says she took the photos. So now you're asking me to go really far out on the limb here to believe some of this crap, which is not. And then to me, which I think is the nail in the coffin on all these things, they can't find his clothes.
Yeah, the clothes thing is big. So yeah, well, hey, that's pretty much today's episode, everybody. Thank you. No, that was good. Yeah, that was a big one, you know, finding the clothes. That was surprising to me too. But just sticking on the photos here, I just want to get back to 133A De Mornschild. Okay, so on that one, this is the same 133A. It was already in the in the Warren Report volumes. But this is what's interesting about this one is there's a few things that are interesting. It's a wider format copy, which means that it wasn't created at a print shop. It's somebody privately created it in a lab. So that's interesting. Whereas the other two that are in evidence were created at a print shop. The back of the picture says, to my friend George from Lee Oswald, with a date of April 5th that's in Cyrillic. It's not Cyrillic, it's Cyrillic, I've now learned. Thank you very much. And that phrase was identified by three HSCA handwriting experts as being linked to Oswald. It also said copyright George De Mornschild on the back of the photo, which was not written by De Mornschild, according to these HSCA handwriting experts. And then it said Hunter of Fascists, ha, 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 in Russian as well. And the handwriting expert said that that was not written by Lee and it wasn't written by Marina either. And it had to be written by someone who was below grammar school in Russian. And it was then traced over, according to HSCA handwriting expert Joseph McNally. De Mornschild, this is back to the pains. De Mornschild found these photos in a record sleeve of some English language records that he picked up from Everett Glover when he came back from Haiti. And he had lent these records to Marina to practice English. But it turns out, you know, of course, to get them back, Michael Payne dropped the records off to Everett Glover. So there's the Paynes again. Certainly they had the opportunity. And I think whether they did or they didn't do these things, we'll continue to look at it. But yeah, there are basically the argument is you don't know for sure, you know, the argument against why she didn't do it is she says she didn't, you don't know for sure. Those are just associations. And yes, they could have done it, but man, well, that's one thing to say that. And it's another thing to list all the associations and to talk about all the pieces of evidence that like we're doing. So, there is some weird stuff going on with this tracing and writing on the back of the De Mornschild picture. My biggest thing is, and Max Good said this too when I talked to him, he doesn't put a lot of stock in handwriting analysis. And I keep finding that there are these pieces of evidence where the experts all say, well, the handwriting matches. And it's like, if that's true, then it seems to really implicate Oswald. But then I did a little deep dive on handwriting evidence generally. And handwriting evidence is just comparing a sample with another sample. So those two particular samples end up being really, really important. And the other thing is, if someone knows that handwriting is going to be analyzed after the fact, and they know about handwriting analysis themselves, it's quite possible that an expert could forge well enough to fool. Now, to fool three people, I don't know. See, I don't know. This is an argument I really don't know about. What are your thoughts on the handwriting side of things?
Well, I mean, everything that comes down to handwriting always is, what was the document that Oswald supposedly wrote, but they can't find his fingerprints on?
The note, yeah, the long note,
Yeah.
right, in Russian.
I rest my case. I mean, like, seriously, and then there's all these sorts of things. Again, go back to, if he really wanted to be, as Ruth Payne said, he wanted to be somebody, he wanted to be noted, he wanted to be notarized, he wanted to be seen as somebody capable, then just admit to what he did. But I find this handwriting stuff to be just subjective, and I don't think there's a whole, I think that there's more to it. And I was watching this Netflix show called Ripley, and I don't know if you've seen it, but the guy in the show forges this guy's handwriting perfectly so he could cash checks. And I'm thinking, if that guy can do it, I'm sure the CIA has experts that can do anybody. I'm sure they can do Thomas Jefferson's handwriting if they wanted to, right? So I think, to me, those are not valid. And anything that touches the Payne's hands, to me, has to be viewed as coming from someplace other than Oswald.
On that topic, did the Imperial Reflex Camera belong to Oswald? Is the next thing to look at. So we got the photos. We know those photos came from this one Imperial Reflex Camera, and that's because the markings that are on the photo. There's all this granular like metadata about the photo that the experts go into. I read the whole HSCA photo expert section. It's pretty dry reading, but you get your head around the idea of what they're talking about. It does seem like it did come from this Imperial Reflex Camera. Now, four Dallas detectives said they didn't see an Imperial Reflex Camera, and
Stalking.
but
Amazing.
one Irving detective, John McCabe, said he did see it. So, and he thought it was I guess in such bad condition that it wasn't worth noting, is what he said. But then Marina, at first, she says the family had two cameras, this Russian Quera 2 and then a stereo realist. And those were both in evidence for about 2.5 months. But then she ends up staying with Robert Oswald for a couple of nights. This is after he has the camera back from Ruth Payne. Ruth Payne gave it to Robert. And then Robert, you've got to think, said something to her, because in between when she testified and said that yes, this was their camera, and then she stays with Robert Oswald for 2 nights, and then a few days later she goes, no, that wasn't the camera. It was actually this one that Robert Oswald had. So, who knows why he's doing that? Maybe he thought it was real. Maybe he's involved somehow. I don't know. But any thoughts on Robert Oswald and his actions?
Well, I think, to me, that if you, let's take it from they enter Payne's garage, they can't find this camera, right? And all of a sudden one detective finds it, and it's with, and then it comes back through the Payne's. Like, where's the chain of custody? And like, as soon as they saw the picture of Oswald with the gun, wouldn't they say, we got to get the camera that belongs to this?
You would think so.
I'm not a detective, but I've watched enough Rockford to know that, you better figure out that you better get that, And so I think anything that they didn't find has to be viewed as really not valid. Because it really, there is, Jim talks it, there's no chain of custody of the camera.
Right.
And then Ruth says all she finds, and all of a sudden it shows up. I mean, like, and then four Dallas police go through it, they can't find it, and now one guy does.
Well, and then to throw one other little nugget of information into the mix, there for the longest time, people said, well, the only photos of this are these backyard photos, and so
Right.
this got to be fake. Who's got a little kid and doesn't take pictures of all at all? These are the only pictures you ever took? No way, this is obviously fake. So then we get some more photos, and these are photos that were, I think, 11 photos from the same camera taken of Marina in New Orleans during a, there's only a few months when they could have been taken, and they had to be taken by either Oswald or by Ruth Payne? And there's kind of a little bit of a debate on that, kind of a, debate both ways on that. And it turns out that Marina actually references in a letter, it asks Ruth about the pictures she took. Did she get them developed, the pictures that she took while she was in New Orleans? So, the real question there is, if someone's asking you if you got the pictures developed, typically the owner of the camera is the one who develops the photos in society. Does that, but people just, the counter argument is, well, she was just very nice. She was so nice. And she was, Marina's poor. Ruth was being nice. She was going to go ahead and do it because she knew Marina was poor.
Ruth is really an incredibly nice woman. I mean, she takes a lady in that she doesn't really know, offers her her spare bedroom, doesn't really know her, because she pretends she wants to teach her Russian, which to this day, Ruth doesn't know any Russian. Welcomes her home in, husband leaves just perfectly timing, and goes to, with her to New Orleans to bring her back home with a load of evidence. And then she just wants to become a family photographer. It all makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I think Ruth probably should get a Medal of Freedom from the before she passes away. I think there's no question. It's just not believable, right? And so, like everything with this case, to me, they cover up what they didn't think people would find. So they have to then manipulate the evidence to match what they have to find. So now Ruth has to take pictures and develop them from this camera to show that they didn't just use it for backyard photos. How else would you explain it?
Yeah, I mean they just randomly took some pictures. I mean, yeah, the way you explain it is a way that would sound implausible, but if it's one thing, you let it go. It's just as these you could let it go if you saw if you like passionately believed that all these other things were true, right? But what happens is when you zoom in, this is what happened for me, it's probably the same thing for you, just like you were talking about on McAfee, like once you zoom into the details, you're like, okay, but that's there's no chain of custody. These things aren't supported. Everything we have bad about Oswald is from Marina and from Ruth Payne. So not literally everything, but a lot of it. So
Most everything. I mean,
yeah.
most everything. I mean, you got, they're the clearinghouse. I mean, and so, and that garage is a powerful, powerful tool. I mean, they just put whatever they wanted in that garage. And the fact that Michael knew that it was the Neely house without it being never being back there is kind of, how would he know that? Like, he never went behind. They just picked him up in the car. Like, I
Right.
can't tell you my neighbor's back. I live across the street from this guy. I've been here for 10, 5 years. I don't know what his backyard looks like, and I live across the street.
I mean, unless he had a job with where his it required him to just remember everything he saw, like if he was like an intelligence agent or something. I don't know. But who knows? All right. Let's jump into the specific criticisms of the authenticity of the backyard photo. So you touched on a few of these. I just want to kind of go rapid fire, and then I've got a few rebuttals in here that we'll be getting to as well. So the first thing is the chin in the photo kind of looks more square than it does in other photos of Oswald. That's one thing that jumped out at me. But then again, Oswald himself said that it was his head superimposed on the picture. There have been studies that have been done that show that the shadows fall in a way that you would think would be consistent with them. Although I don't know that those studies were done with respect to all three photos. So also the HSCA photo panel determined that the backyard photo was authentic and was not doctored, but they didn't rule out that someone could have used the Imperial Reflex camera to take a picture of a picture that was doctored. Now, that seems elaborate for someone to do in 1963, but the fact that that's possible and it would still generate the same metadata, I don't know if there'd be a glare from the picture, like you'd be able to tell you're taking a picture of a picture. But thoughts on just the general fakery of it? I have a few rebuttals, they'll get to it as well, but.
That picture had to be in Ruth Payne's garage because they knew he was going to be the patsy. They had to have it there, and they got it right in front of Oswald without a lawyer present, without anybody there, and they were able to, and we know that he destroyed some of his notes, although it's handwritten. You can read that he denied the photo was him.
Right.
And to me, that was like, okay, we got our guy. Here's the one piece of evidence we need. It's sealed.
Sure.
I think all these people that the guy from Dartmouth that analyzed it with the authority, like every time they want the other side wants to dispute something, they always get an Ivy League or somebody to come in and say, well, that, you know, we did all this study on it, right? When they can't really defend a couple of the items that come up, that Oswald, you know, Marina couldn't work the camera. I mean, all the things that kind of go into taking the picture, like the we get distracted.
Hey, everybody, Matt Crumpton here. When I'm not researching, writing, or recording, one of my favorite ways to relax is with federally legal THC from Mood.com. This stuff doesn't come from a lab. It's pesticide-free and grown on American farms. You can get 20% off your first order using the code JFK. One of my go-tos is the functional gummies from Mood.com. These gummies only take 15 minutes to feel the effects, and you can choose all kinds of different moods, from creativity to pain relief to just plain old relaxation. Everything comes right to your door and is discreetly labeled. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, you also get 20% off of your first order using code JFK. So head on over to Mood.com and find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Remember, use code JFK for a 20% discount.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Let's go to the next one. All right, this is a fun one. Roscoe White. So Roscoe White started working for the Dallas police in the photo lab in October of 1963. And according to his wife, he was skilled in trick photography. Also, Roscoe White served in Atsugi with Oswald at the same time. And his wife, Geneva, worked for Jack Ruby. So there's more on the Roscoe White story. He supposedly left this deathbed confession time capsule saying that he was one of the assassins of President Kennedy. And it's kind of, I'm going to cover it next season, but it's certainly not established, let's just say. Okay. And there are a lot of people, like Diogenio, for example, is intensely against that theory. And so are many other folks, although Armstrong kind of, I think, lends a little bit of support to Roscoe White. And so the question, you know, it's possible that he's involved in the photographic forgery somehow, but he's not an assassin. Because remember, the only person that says he was an assassin is his wife and his son. And by the way, the whole time capsule thing, supposedly there's these smoking gun documents in there that prove everything and that would prove that, you know, or they would at least lend a lot of credence to it. Those all disappeared and they were stolen by the FBI, right? So it's one of those things where it's like, oh man, you know, gotta have some faith to believe. But anyway, one thing on Roscoe White too is, this is something John Armstrong points out, he had this injury where he had this kind of like nub on his wrist that stuck out, and he thinks he sees that in the photos. I can't get into the grains of things. I don't really mess with like the badge man of it all and all that kind of stuff, really. So maybe not. I don't know. But I mean, the backyard photos, it is a picture. So that's kind of what we're talking about.
Osco takes the job October 17th in the Dallas police just in time, right? He leaves October the 18th, 2 years exactly later, to take a job at Page Drugstore. Now, you know, like, he could have been, I'm a little bit with Jim. I've read Brian Edwards' book on Roscoe White and the locker and what they found and who took it and all that, the notes. And there's a little bit of a doubt whether the wife actually was in complete contact with Ruby. But to me, you can't dispute that he had the ability to forge photographs. And we know there's a cutout photograph of a body that, you know, that they found how many years, 1993, when they were doing some cleaning.
Yes.
You know? So, like, he's there for 2 years. I mean, maybe he got scared and didn't want to be a police officer anymore. So he's decided to work in a drugstore. He's not a pharmacist. So, I mean, he had to be taking a pay cut. So
Right.
I think there's something to Roscoe. I'm on the lines of you. I'm not hook, line, and sinker. He was on the grassy knoll pulling the trigger. I'm not going to go there, but I think there was certainly an element of why would he be in there for forgery? What was he doing there? What was his
Sure.
role? You know, now people have him moving all over Dealey Plaza on that day, you know, and so, but I do know that he left a year after the assassination. I mean,
Wow.
he only worked 2 years on the force. Basically, he did his job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go there for 2 years on the dot. The next thing is something that you brought up earlier, just to touch on it again real quick. Oswald didn't have the clothes that are pictured in the backyard photo in his possession. So those pants and that shirt, he didn't have that. He didn't have a lot of money.
Does Oswald strike you as Allen Iverson? You know, Iverson used to go from one city to the next and just buy new clothes. He would leave his clothes in the hotel and go, because he was, it's, does he strike you as that kind of guy? Did Lee
No,
strike you as that guy?
not at all.
It doesn't strike me either. Like he, what, he had $13 on his person. I mean, you know, when he went, when allegedly he went through the front door of the Texas Theater. I find that, to me, I find that hard to believe. Like I find it as a slip up, frankly. Why didn't they have those clothes in the garage? Well, the
Right.
reason they didn't have the clothes in the garage is probably because Lee took all his clothes out of the garage to take them to the rooming house. So
Sure.
if they put that black shirt and black there, he would say, "Wait a minute, I don't own this shit.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't own this. What's this do? This isn't mine." So they couldn't leave it there, right? So they couldn't. So they just counted on all of us being stupid enough to not ask, where is the shirt and pants? Which is the whole essence of the picture, right?
Right. Yeah. That exactly. So that's it. So I think that's not nothing. I mean, there is the argument that, well, he lost it, he got rid of it, whatever. Okay, how believable is
Been
that?
there.
Everybody can decide how believable that is.
I have shit in
But
my closet forever. I mean, you know, you
yeah.
probably do
Oh
too.
man.
But
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know, if you're wearing something to take a picture in, think about it. If you're wearing something to take a picture in, you like the clothes.
True. That's a good point too. Yeah. Plus, like, if he's gonna go do, revolutionary stuff, black on black's kind of a good look. Like, he could probably use that, So anyway, all right, the next one, inconsistent rifle sling in the photo versus the one that was found on the sixth floor, right? So the photo shows a rope rifle sling, and the one on the sixth floor had leather. Now, this was according to an FBI expert. But that's easy. Oswald could have easily went and bought a leather sling, which, by the way, just like he could have bought a rifle at any
Right.
gun shop. He could have, so
Exactly.
not a huge deal. But he, so here's a rebuttal, and this is interesting. Rebuttal number one: regarding the rifle sling, the strap buckle is on the bottom of the rifle in the backyard photos, but the strap is on the side of the gun that's taken out of the depository. This is from Karim and Slapout9 on Twitter. So I looked at this closely, and I don't love studying photos that are all grainy, but the strap is definitely on the side in the depository rifle. The one that comes out, Lieutenant Day, you can see it right there. It's on the side. Nice and easy. I think it's possible that the strap is on the bottom of the rifle in the backyard photos, but I really couldn't tell. So if it is, then obviously that's a very strong argument that it's a different gun, because the placement of this piece that holds the strap is in a different place. When I look at 133A and 133C, I can see the rope on the sling, but I can't tell if it's going to the bottom of the gun or the side. I have no idea. I will say, when you look at 133B, it does appear that the sling is on the bottom of the gun, but the way that it's in the photo, I can't be sure that it's not on the side and it got kind of pushed down. So I'm going to keep it at inconclusive and leave that up to everybody. I'll put the photo up in the video, and we can all be looking at it while we're talking about it. But have you looked at that, Michael?
Yeah, I have, and I can't tell. I'm not a gun expert, But I just know that, you know, when you read Bill Simpkins of the 12 people that were involved in all this, what's he call that?
Bill Simpkins,
Simpich, yeah, he calls it the outliers and the legends. And I think when you read that and the detective that's always bringing out that, you know, is I think to me that I'm not sure what rifle is where. I think there's more than one rifle somewhere else, right?
Right.
You know, and
yeah,
we'll Mauser. Get to the wall. Yeah, I mean, we're going to, you know, so I would clearly say that, you know, I can't tell from the photos, so I can't say there's proof positive, but I would tend to believe that that would be probably the way the details were so sloppily handled, not mm-hmm. having his clothes in the room, it wouldn't be surprised if that got past him.
Also, a related thing, just thinking back, the rifle that he ordered was different than the rifle that was provided. He actually ordered a 36 inch and he was provided with a 40 inch. Or maybe it was a 38 inch, but he ordered the one that he got was a little longer than the one he ordered. So perhaps the one that, you know, the one that in the photo is consistent with what the order slip was and not the one that was in evidence. It's a wilderness of mirrors. So, all right. The next issue is this ghost photo that we touched on really quick earlier. They opened up the files in 1993. Basically, there's like a new city administrator in Dallas. And these two reporters, Ray and Mary LaFontaine, found these two pictures in the police files. One of them showed the 133C basically cut out. And then there's another picture of Officer Gary Brown Officer Bobby Brown with a very similar pose. And at first, he was asked by author Gary Savage, you know, what's going on with this? Because, by the way, there are no police reports or anything explaining the presence of these documents. So at first, Officer Brown told Gary Savage that the Secret Service asked him to take a picture in the backyard to compare after the assassination. And then he cut his image out because he didn't want to be associated with it, like if it got released. But then Gary Savage goes and he looks at 133C and he sees that compared to the Bobby Brown picture. And he goes, this is not you. This is literally 133C. It's the exact same outline. So then when Savage went back to Brown with that information, he changed his story and said that the FBI actually what happened is the FBI wanted Oswald's image on a white background. Now, he didn't say why that was, but so he changed his story to something that's still kind of fishy. Like why? And why are they asking some random cop in Dallas to do that? Is that plausible? I mean, yeah, it's something. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that he lied and told a different story, he's not viable. My instincts were that they took a picture of somebody standing there with a similar size as Oswald, and then they put Oswald's body in it. You know, mm-hmm. And that cutout kind of proves it really could prove that the whole photo is fake. Why else would you cut out the person?
Yeah.
You know, and they went back and, you know, they went back. I mean, they didn't have to go back and retake the photo. That's the real photo. They just had to cut it out. It'd be interesting. Of course, we couldn't prove this. It would be interesting if Roscoe White's fingerprints were on that photo.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure they didn't check for that. But, well, the other thing, this picture we're talking about is 133C, which is not one of the ones that was, it's the only one that wasn't handed over to the Warren Commission. So there's going to be another little anomaly at 133C we'll get to here in a second. So there's something kind of weird going on with that, I think. Not sure what. All right. Well, that's that's really the story of the backyard photo. Something definitely is going on. I can't tell you for sure what. Three people. So back to more weird stuff. There are three people who claim to have seen the backyard photo before it was discovered. And there are actually five, it turns out. I came across two more in the last few days. So from the podcast, the first one is Michael Payne on Friday night at the police station. He's shown the photo, and like you said, he knows right away, oh, this is Neely Street. It's in there. He went to go pick up Marina and Lee one occasion, but it was at night, and he didn't go inside. He just went to pick them up, and he didn't go in the backyard. Right. So how would he know immediately? You could argue that maybe he's just like has a really good memory and that's his thing. How the sides of houses look. Everybody's got a thing, Michael, you know?
But how come it's always Michael Payne and Ruth Payne that are just on top of everything? How come it's always that? How come when they need something that's in the garage? How come when they need somebody to say what's going on, it's there? Why?
Right.
Why does everything seem to be coming through them? And, you know, and I think to me, Michael Payne is, you know, the fact that he's there at the police. I mean, you know, they make this case that Michael's not around very much, that, you know, he's at his own. But then when they need him, then he's like the bull. He's like Mariano Rivera. They bring him in to close out the game.
He was also happened to be there to unload the car when they got back from New Orleans. So it's fun.
Exactly
he's
right.
Always around. Michael Payne is the first person who sees this image on Friday night. Then reporter Jerry O'Leary says that he either saw it on Friday or Saturday morning. And again, it's found Saturday afternoon. And then we have Captain Fritz, who says that he showed Payne the photo when Payne was there. He showed Michael Payne the photo when he was there Friday night. So he's supporting Michael Payne's story. So that's three. Okay. Then it turns out there are actually two more, Robert and Patricia Hester, who were processing film and photos for the FBI on the day of the assassination. They both told author Jim Mars that they saw the backyard photo that was later published in Life magazine on the night of the assassination. Now, these are just two witnesses talking to an author, like a fair amount of the evidence is, okay? So that doesn't mean it's slam dunk, but, you know, we're talking about witnesses four and five to this issue. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. Obviously, if the cops have it in their possession before they've found it, that doesn't work out. What do you think about this one?
I think to me, this is, we have to get the narrative out and we got to get it to as many people as we can. So we're going to make sure it's available. You know, here's this Dallas police force that, you know, four guys go through, can't find a camera. One guy's go, all of a sudden they can find these pictures that are sitting there, you know, that are unpacked in his garage, you know, with a spy camera alongside. I think to me, this was part of, you know, the operation to make sure that everybody believed Oswald did it. And the more hands we could get it into, the better off. I don't think anybody anticipated the level of scrutiny that this case was ever going to go under.
That's, if you look at what Alan Dulles says, that's certainly true. They didn't anticipate the internet, that's for sure.
Or the JFK or the Buffs or Mark Lane coming out of as a lawyer, you know? And so, you know, and they kept it as clamped down as they could. They discredited Garrison as much as possible. But the only reason people are involved of intellect is because it makes no common sense. And so this, you know, this, how does this picture get circulated? Well, it gets circulated because it goes back to, you know, they had to put a cover story out there. Mm-hmm. And there it is.
Or maybe all the witnesses are wrong again. Have you thought about that one?
You know, I keep thinking about that, but if I put all the witnesses who were wrong on my whiteboard over here, I'd have no room.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have no room. I mean, like, even in Dealey Plaza, how many people have said this is what was, you know, and they get no credibility. Ruth Payne gets all the credibility in the world. It's like she is the gospel according to Ruth Payne. I mean, we have to genuflect when she comes on. And I said that this to you in a text. I truly believe that the reason nothing's been declassified is because she's still alive.
Well, her tax returns are still classified, we know.
Well, why would that be? You know, it comes back to the Paynes. It comes back to the clearinghouse. It comes back to the garage. And whatever wasn't in the garage, here's dear old Michael, you know, playing JFK Uber Eats to deliver whatever he needs to deliver.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly, I think, an inference you can land on. And I, as you know, I'm pretty close there with you there, Michael. All right. Rebuttal number two for me. And this is sort of just an additional thing, not a rebuttal to any specific fact. And this comes from OKC underscore facts on Twitter/X. It wasn't really a rebuttal. It was just a really good tweet. And I want to include it because I think it's relevant. He says another reason to doubt the credibility of the backyard photos is that Oswald's ring is on different hands in the backyard photos. And this, I was not aware of this. And this was kind of a showstopper for me. So I couldn't tell for sure where Oswald's ring was in 133A. I looked at it closely. I don't know if I don't have a good enough copy of it. But in 133B, you can tell pretty clearly that the ring is on his right hand. And in 133C, you could tell pretty clearly that it's on his left hand. And so the question is, why would a person change ring hands in the middle of the photo shoot? Maybe it's nothing, but it seems to suggest that 133C is different somehow than 133A and 133B to me.
And the ring, I mean, like everybody believes Oswald left his ring. Again, the ring comes back into play, right? Everybody believes he left his ring or he had no ring on. When we can see when he's in handcuffs, he's got a ring. It's pretty clear, you know, and they all say he left his ring there because he was going to go kill the president and you know, become a star, according to what Ruth Payne thought, that that's what he wanted. Like that, there's a ring on his finger. Like that, you just look at that.
I actually never noticed that or realized it. So I'll have to go back and look at that. Good point. All right. So I'm going to go straight to rebuttal number three. Okay. So this one is just another argument against the credibility of the backyard photos that I did not bring up. Jim Garrison investigator Stephen Jaffe, who I actually saw a presentation from in 2022 in Dallas, proved that these photos were fake. He was able to determine that the image of the head was exactly the same size in all three photos, and it was the exact same image. So I took a look at the work of Mr. Jaffe and also a guy named Larry Rivera, who wrote on the scientific and photo research that was done on these backyard photos. And what I would feel better if there was like an expert on the other side so we could compare experts. I don't feel comfortable all the time just from a legal standpoint relying on one expert. But the lack of an expert sometimes on an issue makes you go, well, maybe that's it, right? So, but until you hear both experts, it's kind of hard to determine. But a guy I know, I've become friends with, Rick Russo, who's one of the guys involved with the Men Who Killed Kennedy docuseries, he also sent me an image from a book named from a guy named Tom Wilson, who wrote this book called A Deeper, Darker Truth. And Wilson was an engineer who developed an image processing system that could basically see behind surface level layers in a photo. And so using his technology, he says that he was able to show that there is a mask image of Oswald's face that was put over another face. So it's not the entirety of his face. It's just like, it comes down to like part of his chin, whatever. So I don't know. I mean, yes, like there, and I'll post it on the screen when I do the video, there's an image that you look at and you go, oh yeah, I see how this could be that. It very well could be. I just don't, I can't make a determination based off of that, but I would be interested to learn more.
Well, if you go back to the Brown photo with the cutout, it kind of explains all this, right? Why would the Dallas police have a cutout of everything but a body? Were they playing arts and crafts? I mean, were they my 2-year-old granddaughter going to start playing arts and crafts? I mean, why did they cut that out? We got no reasonable explanation from him, right? We got no reasonable, and we know Roscoe White was good at photography. We know that. And we know that Oswald was good at photography. He immediately said, that's not my face, even though they want us to believe he's a lone nut and that he wanted, as Ruth Payne would say, he wanted notoriety. So right. Like that makes more sense to me. Like that there's a cutout. And now, you know, like, you know, but of course, Garrison gets kind of dumped in on because they've done so much to discredit him that any of his good work is looked at as bad work, right? It goes back to that. Nobody, you know, he was on the right track. He's owed an apology by our country. But I think to me, I would tend to believe that. Like, I don't believe the guy from Dartmouth. Like, I don't believe that one at all. I clearly believe that was a CIA. Like, we need the other side to come in here. Because they don't debate you. You know, you want to debate. Like, you were very fair, I think sometimes overly fair in presenting both sides for me, you know, because I'm like, God damn it, Matt, you know that's right. And so, and I think to me that if we could ever have a debate on it, you know, then it would be a lot clearer. But they don't want to, like Posner, though, wasn't debate Jim. He loses. He knows that Jim has way more information than Posner. So that's why it just it lays in the wind.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'd hope to, I would love to have a talk with Posner or, you know, someone like even, I don't want to say names because I don't want to upset people, but the whole point is,
I mean, they got to stand behind their work.
Not you. There's other people, but
no, I mean, I think they have to stand behind their work. Like, I got a really good friend who believes that Oswald acted alone, and I keep sending them documentation, you know, And so, like, convince me how this is wrong.
My perspective is that I don't think it's possible to convince someone who is like super deep down, like ingrained in it, to be honest with you. But what I think is helpful and would be a productive conversation if we could do it right, would be to explain where we disagree and just identify specific, oh, so you think this because of this. Okay. Well, what do you think about this? That because then it's sort of phrased in terms of, oh, we're not going to agree. Let's relish the fact that we disagree, but let's try to identify why. And then we'll leave it up to the audience or to like a reasonable third person to observe. I just, especially like in Facebook and even on Twitter, like I'm never ever targeting my commentary at trying to win over one person because I don't, I'm focused on just like what would an objective, reasonable person think? You know what I mean? So anyway,
No, I agree.
all right, let's look at, let's pivot to General Walker here. I know we've been going for a minute, but it'll be pretty quick. All right. So let's look at the just really quick the Oswald guilty facts for General Walker. His guilt is based on this guilty note, the photos that were taken of Oswald. I'm sorry, the photos that were taken of General Walker's house with the Imperial Reflex camera, and then statements from Marina. So just overall, this case was a cold case. Nobody knew who shot Walker. The shooting happens on April 10th, 1963. And then the first thing that happens is somebody says, "Have you linked the Walker shooting to Oswald?" Once Oswald's in police custody, no one found out who that was that said that. Somebody said it. And then Michael Payne supposedly
Of course.
told the there he is again. He told
Here
the
comes
Houston,
Mariana Rivera. Here
hey,
comes
baby.
Mariana Rivera.
Michael Payne on November 23rd told the Houston Post that it's possible that Oswald could have been involved in the General Walker shooting. So he would be the first person. Now, I will say I brought that up with Max Good, and he did not include that fact in his documentary because he could not find the Houston Post article. My citation for this is to a Probe magazine article, and it's a writer that is credible. I forget her name off the top of my head, but it's on the website. But I wanted to get a copy of the newspaper article itself because now we're talking about it. I'd like to go get it. And it turned, I signed up for the, newspaperarchives.com. I'm getting ready to do all this stuff. It turns out the Houston Post is only available on microfiche at the Houston Public Library. So if you are in Houston, Texas, and you want to go do some research for the JFK community, go find the Houston Post from November 23rd and see if you can find an article where Michael Payne is talking about linking Oswald to the General Walker shooting. If you can, I'll send you a free Chokeholds book. How about that? All right.
Beautiful. I'll send you two of my free books if they give you that.
Okay,
You
there you
know,
go.
let's Walker. Okay. Here to me is where we get really screwed up. We get so far away from the facts. And I want you to defend this. You're telling me that Oswald was so talented as a shot that he could be on the sixth floor shooting a moving target away from him and be precise with two of the shots to kill the president. And yet Walker's in his library at a stationary target and he misses him.
Probably what the argument would be is, well, the fact that Oswald made those shots was a fluke. He probably wouldn't have done it again, in terms of JFK. He got lucky. And then they would say that was a window that had the four crosses and like it very well almost could have hit the window and he only slightly missed by. They would make some sort of argument like that, is what they would say. But yes, I
Okay,
agree with you.
second. Okay. Oz, how does a guy who doesn't drive take a rifle and line up outside of somebody's house without no one ever seeing him or giving him a ride? Who's a lone nut? Now you tell me he's a lone nut, right? So he has no friends. So does he walk with the rifle in his hand like Omar in The Wire? Does he, you know, how does he get there? How does he get away? How does he get home?
Well, the story, see, I'm let's take it issue by issue and we'll unpack all these things here. So let's start with the note. Let's start with and you raised some really good points and I think it ends up really depending on do you believe Marina and the official evidence more, or do you believe the FBI reports and the police reports more? Do you believe the Warren report, or do you believe the FBI and police reports? These are really what you're comparing. So on the note, okay, General Walker ends up talking to this West German newspaper. They contact him, and they put out a story on November 29th of 1963 saying that Walker said that it was Oswald that shot at him, and he said the police knew and they didn't do anything. Well, then when Walker testified to the Warren Commission, they asked him about that, and he said the article was totally fabricated. He did speak to the guy, but he didn't say any of the things that the guy said he said. He said that he didn't think it was Oswald. He had no idea who shot at him. And then, you know, black people are bad and whatever, whatever right. else does, General Walker does, wants to
does,
say.
Does Walker strike you as a guy who cuts his tongue off?
No.
Okay.
No.
If he thought it was Oswald, he would have been screaming it was Oswald.
For sure. And he actually was pretty vocal saying that it wasn't Oswald. So,
correct.
But anyway, it's what's interesting is it's the day after this German newspaper comes out, and it comes out in West Germany, but it's the next day that Ruth Payne.
Here they come again. Here they come. Here we need them. Call them from the bullpen. Yogi, get them up here. Let's go. Now we'll get Ruth throwing in the bullpen. Yeah, let's go. Ruth's come. Here comes Ruth.
Oh, man. Anyway, so she calls the police, and she finds two books that she realizes are very important to Marina, and gives the books to the cops, who then there's one officer who then gives the book to Leon Gopadzi, who's her Secret Service agent. She's actually at the time she's at her manager's house. It's funny, she's got a manager now. It's like that was probably pretty quick. I'd love to see how that developed, but anyway,
well, you know, let's just stop there for a second. Yeah. She has a manager because somebody just gives her a $25,000 anonymous donation, yeah, and she needs to manage her funds. And
oh, that's right. Yeah. You know, that's why.
Right. So she needs that right. And she has a manager. But what's remarkable about Marina is how trustworthy she is. She must have been the greatest speed dater of all time. Like, she trusts the Paynes completely. And then she trusts with not really knowing these people. She just trusts them immediately. So go sure. ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You're good. You're good. So anyway, so this note, it turns out there's a note in the book, and Secret Service agent finds this note, and the note's written in Russian. Now, it's not like a confession note of I shot General Walker. It's like a note that lays out, like, hey, I paid these bills. This is like, basically it's like a, you know, he may not be around type note. And he's just trying to give like administrative information to his wife. She says that he put his ring on top of the note and left it on the table. And that's where she found the note on the night of the Walker shooting. This is what she originally told the either the Warren Commission or an early FBI report. Anyway, at first Marina denied knowing anything about the note. And then it was only later when they showed up, she goes, oh, well, yeah, I didn't want to tell you guys, but that's right. I remember this note now. So anyway, of course, the FBI then matched the note to Oswald's handwriting. Hey, there's that handwriting analysis one more time. And the handwriting was in Russian, and it was analyzed by an FBI analyst that didn't speak Russian, but that's okay, I guess. One more thing, the Dallas police, and we know this because Ruth Payne complained about it, they leafed through all of her books to check and see if there's anything in there, but apparently they didn't, they must have missed the book that had the note in it. I guess that's possible. On the note, I mean, it really just, do you believe, like what we just laid out, do you think that you know, she put the note in there, or do you think that it was already there and it really was Oswald and Marina's telling the truth? This is your core issue is the credibility of Marina and the credibility of Ruth Payne versus the overall story and all the individual evidence, really.
And that's why I started by saying you really have to believe the Paynes are innocent of all this to believe any of this. And Marina, sure, if you have any interest in this, as if you're listening to this, if you just read her testimony to Jim Garrison or read her, it's so different all the time that I don't know how you could believe her on anything.
Yeah, that's right. Same thing with the HSCA. It's all over the place.
It's all over the place.
And there's one point when we covered it in a few episodes ago where she's saying something and she goes, you understand, I want to say, she's like, you understand, I want to help you. I'm not going to be charged with anything. We're good. What do you want me to say? You know,
Yeah.
the what
I
the
want to
what
stay in
yeah
America. I want to stay in
yeah
America, so I'll tell you everything. Oh, I
that's right
forgot to tell you about this.
yeah
You know,
yeah
I didn't want to tell you.
and it's implied like the extra way we're going like oh what do you want me to say shouldn't literally say what do you want me to say but like I guess that's the core issue of the inferences that are drawn. All right, the Walker photos, real quick on that. So another one of the sort of the three pegs in the stool of Oswald's Walker guilt. You got the note and the photos and Marina's testimony. So the photos from the same Imperial Reflex camera, and you know I read the expert testimony on that. I buy it. It's fine. It's from the seems like it's from the same camera, but there's nothing that would stop someone else from going and taking these pictures. They could have been taken at any time, and again this the whole conversation about the chain of custody of the camera, et cetera. There's also a picture of railroad tracks. And again, you know, if Oswald took these photos, it's either Oswald did it or it's an elaborate setup. But there seems to be a lot of evidence for an elaborate setup, and we can't just write it off, is all I'm saying. There's a license plate that's cut out of the back of a Chevy in one of those. And that, you know, that could be just for anonymity, but there's no anonymity in this case. People's phone numbers are in the records. People's, addresses are everywhere. So that seems a little strange. We'll get to that here in just a second. All right, Marina statements. That's the last thing. So if Marina's telling the truth, then Oswald is guilty. Okay. But, you know, and she point blank says that Oswald did shoot at General Walker. But she said a lot of things that don't add up. So here are just some of the things she said. She said Oswald would go shoot target practice by riding the bus in a raincoat and hiding his rifle under his raincoat on the bus. And when he would do that, he would get dropped off at Love Field, which, just like today, is a major airport in Dallas. And he would just shoot target practice around Love Field. Now, I don't even think in 1963 they're going to let you just shoot random target practice by an airport in the
Even in
middle of a
Texas,
city.
even in Texas, even in Texas.
So yeah, and then she also says that Oswald buried the rifle underground in a field after the shooting, but the FBI conducted a microscopic analysis of the rifle and it found no dirt or soil whatsoever. He didn't have cleaning materials.
When I read that, all I could think about was Tony Soprano trying to dig up Uncle Junior's money in the backyard. Like, where did you put it? Did you wrap it right? Like, where did you put it? Like, does this make any sense at all? How stupid do they think we are?
Yeah, it's but I suppose that the counter argument would be that well it must have gotten thoroughly cleaned, but again the counter to that is there's no cleaning utensils. Well, he must have had cleaning utensils that we don't know about. Okay. All right, what you know, people can decide what they think is most reasonable. Marina then says that Oswald retrieved the rifle, the buried rifle. He went and dug it out on Easter Sunday, April 14th. But Jean de Morinchil says that she saw the rifle at Oswald's house on Saturday, April 13th. So, you know, one of those two people are not telling the truth, or they're
Who
not
and
correct.
no one else, like Oswald never left this rifle out before.
Right.
Like, we have a hard time finding the rifle in New Orleans. And all of a sudden now you want me to believe he left it out there in the trophy case?
Jean de Morinchil and Marina Oswald are the only people ever to claim to have seen the rifle. So there you go. She also, this is a fun one, she told the Warren Commission that Oswald tried to kill Richard Nixon. And the details of it, Nixon wasn't even around. Like none of it made sense. It was just total nonsense. Kind of like the Love Field on a bus story. That's nonsense. I'll tell you that is not plausible at all. That's one reason why I doubt Marina. And I don't think Warren Report defenders would defend Marina's statements there. They would just pick and choose. They would say, well, that's not credible. Don't listen to that. But listen to this part. That's what they would do. So, rebuttal number four. And this is one where the person doing the rebuttal is going to end up being right. So, you know, one of the premises here on the show is that I'm not going to get everything exactly right. It's too voluminous for me to know literally everything. So, when I make a misstatement, I will correct it. So, here's the rebuttal. You said that the HSCA concluded that they could not agree with the Warren Commission on Oswald's involvement in the Walker shooting simply because of Marina's lack of credibility. This is not true. The HSCA concluded that it agreed with the Warren Commission that Oswald did shoot at General Walker. So this is one where the citation that I have is obviously not representative of the overall outcome. The final HSCA report does say, quote, the committee concluded that the evidence strongly suggested that Oswald attempted to murder General Walker. What I'm relying on here and what I cite in the episode is a cite from John Armstrong's Harvey and Lee at page 520, which cites to an HSCA synopsis of Marina Oswald Porter's testimony. So it's citing to a committee document, okay? And what the exact language was is, quote, we regretfully refuse to accept the judgment of the commission in regard to the Walker shooting, hoping that its prides and prejudices were a result of error and not expedience. But I haven't been able to find this underlying document. I've looked on Mary Farrell for it. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. I'm going to reach out to a guy who works with Armstrong. And the other thing is, in the past, if I haven't been able to find something in Armstrong's book, he's got this great online library of all of his materials
at from Baylor, right?
The Baylor Library. Yeah. So I haven't had enough time to really go through all that. My guess is that it's in there, but probably what's going on here is I'm citing to a subcommittee, like the investigators, like investigation notes. And the reality is the notes did not jive with the final conclusion of the actual committee. So look, I spent a ton of time on this case and I can't know everything, but I think the fact that, you know, I'm willing to correct the record hopefully is something that's viewed as a feature and not a bug, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, we're not going to be perfect. I'm disappointed. My son coached at Baylor for 3 years with Matt Rhule, and I didn't know about that. I would have been in that library the whole time.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So let's go to the Oswald's innocent facts here. All right. So the ones that are innocent or he couldn't have done it alone. Okay. First thing, multiple people were seen by several folks. There's a Walker aide named Robert Surrey who says 4 nights before the shooting, there were two men in a 1963 Ford who were wearing suits and ties walking around looking in the windows at Walker's house, and they left when they realized they were being watched. Surrey actually followed them into Dallas, but he lost them, and the car had no license plate. So they're up to something nefarious, those folks. Yeah. One night before the Walker shooting on April 9th, another one of his aides, Max Claunch, sees a Cuban or dark-complected man in a 1957 Chevy, which is potentially one that matches the vehicle that's in Walker's driveway with the license plate cut out. We don't know for sure. Max Claunch only sees one person, but can't be Oswald because Oswald doesn't drive. He doesn't have a 1957 Chevy. All right. Finally, the night of the shooting, 15-year-old Walter Coleman sees two men get into a beige 1950s Ford immediately after the shot was fired and then drive away, and he said neither one of those two men looked like Lee Harvey Oswald. So those are all pretty, you know, two people and a car. Like you were saying earlier, that to me, that really influences my overall opinion. It cannot be Oswald alone. Now, there's still a possibility that Oswald is working in it somehow, I guess, if you want to put weight on the note and the other stuff. But these people all said, no, it wasn't Oswald. They expressly said that the person they said was not Oswald. So you'd have to discount that. Another argument in Oswald's defense, your favorite, Michael Payne told the Warren Committee that he had a dinner party with Oswald on April 10th. That's the night of the Walker shooting. But during his testimony, or after he said that and they came back from a break, the Warren Commission counsel read into the record. Actually, you said April 10th, but you meant April 2nd, just to be clear, right? And he goes, yeah, sure. So because Ruth had a calendar that she kept, and on April 2nd, it showed that, you know, they hung out with the Oswalds. I believe it said Marina. But it also said Marina on April 10th. And Ruth was never asked about the meaning of that. So
why would she?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, we're not going to find out again anything about Ruth until she goes and they'll declassify all her crap. I don't think she was. I don't know if she was an agent, but she had a role. I don't know if she knew what was going to happen. But she clearly was a role. There's too many Mary Bancroft. I mean, you just,
right.
it's way too deep. It's just, she's got linkage everywhere. I love when Max asked her about the trust fund for Michael, and she never answered how much money was in the trust fund. She's very good at moving things around and never answering the question. And she yeah. never looks at you, you know, from interviewing kids for 40 years in my life, she never comes across as somebody who's believable because she never looks at you. And I think she loves the attention. And I think it's a game for her to keep continuing this myth. And, you know, and she can keep telling this story, even though nobody really drills her on the one, like, explain to me this. How did that get in the garage? You know, like, tell me this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because Oswald didn't have a defense. I mean, that's
exactly right.
Core issue.
And that, but, so for the record, so before we go further.
Yeah.
The reasonable doubt in the Walker case is, he was a shitty shot. You know, he had no car to get there. Like, and nobody can place him at the scene. So he would have never been convicted of attempted murder on Walker. There's just no way.
The bullet doesn't matter. Different type of bullet, too, which is the next
exactly.
thing.
So the yeah. forensics doesn't even match.
Yeah.
So anyway, so, go ahead. I don't mean.
Yeah. No, you're great. You're great, man. I appreciate you. All right. The last thing. All pre-assassination information about the Walker bullet says that it was not a copper jacketed 6.5 millimeter bullet. It was a steel jacketed 30-06. So, okay, like what? What am I talking about? Well, General Walker himself saw the bullet and that was in the National Archives, and he said, that's not the same bullet. Okay, so there's one person. The first detectives, Detective McElroy and Van Cleve, both said that it was a 30-06. That was also what it said in the New York Times, the Associated Press, and the Dallas newspapers back when it happened in April of 63. But eventually, around November 30th, when FBI firearms expert Robert Fraser asks for the bullet, it changes from being a 30-06 to a 6.5 millimeter copper jacket. And there's no explanation other than you must believe that everybody else that handled it before was mistaken. Every single one of them was wrong, and General Walker's wrong, because now it's magically a 6.5 millimeter copper bullet. Okay. So,
you think General Walker, a man who's been under fire and has seen battery and has seen, would not know the bullet that was intended right. to hit him between the eyes? I mean, honestly. And do you believe, as bad as a human being as General Walker was, do you honestly believe he would bite his tongue?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think he would say what he felt like he needed to say. So he did. So, and he said that it wasn't Oswald. Yeah. So, all right. The bullets becomes, it switches, or if you could say that everybody before was wrong and it was always a 6.5 millimeter copper jacket. I don't know. That's a question. FBI agents Henry Heiberger and John Gallagher determined that the lead in the Walker bullet did not match the lead in the bullets that hit President Kennedy. Here we go. Rebuttal number five. Let's go. Matt, why not defer to the more advanced techniques used by the HSCA 15 years later? Those tests found that, quote, it is highly probable that the Walker bullet is a Mannlicher-Carcano bullet. That is from volume one, page 28 of the HSCA volumes. And that is true. It's very good. Thank you for pointing that out. Vincent Gwynn did make the statement in the HSCA volumes. He did say that it's likely that this bullet came from Oswald's gun. But let's look at the claim a little closer. So what is Gwynn relying on? He's relying on neutron activation analysis. And basically, that's a technique that in 2005, the FBI stopped using because they found it was so unreliable, or because they actually expressed, just to be clear, the FBI went out of their way to say that we don't find it unreliable. We just don't want to keep losing evidentiary challenges. That was their position. That's kind of funny. Anyway, we talked about the neutron activation analysis not being reliable earlier when it came to the bullets in the limo, the bullet fragments. And that's really the same situation. It's a discredited science. Moreover, there's a scientist named Clifford Spiegelman from Texas A&M University who wanted to test Gwynn's theory because he knew that bullets did not have unique chemical properties. And he was actually able to conclusively prove that NAA neutron activation analysis cannot link a specific bullet to a specific crime because the composition of each bullet is not unique. So I'll leave it to the audience as to what they think is more credible. I appreciate the challenge, but I think we should defer to the more advanced techniques that we have today. It shows the neutron activation analysis is no longer used and is a disfavored technique.
Okay, one last question for you. If Oswald tried to kill Walker and missed, why didn't he go back 2 weeks later and kill him?
Oswald tried to kill. Oh, the answer when you don't know, when it's nonsensical, the answer is always because he's crazy. Because okay. He's a crazy guy.
Yeah, there you go. He's crazy.
Don't try
but
to
he was
ascribe
crazy.
Meaning to what Oswald's doing. He's just crazy.
For purpose.
I think when it comes down to it, I don't think Oswald was involved in the Walker shooting is my conclusion.
I've been talking
out of both sides of my mouth here, but I don't think Oswald's involved in the Walker shooting.
You can't get him there in a car.
Right.
He has to have an associate. And if he's taken a bus, somebody would have had to seen him on a bus with a gun, with a giant rifle.
I think on the photos, I'd love to get your final take on the photos. On the photos, I think they're probably fake. The face was inserted. I'm like 60-40 on that, maybe 70-30. I could see it being part of an operation for him to do also, but at the same time, he said that it was fat. I don't think he would have, if it was an operation, he wouldn't have said that, he wouldn't have drawn attention to that fact. Maybe he would have after the fact, once he realizes he's in bad shape or whatever. But if he was really involved in it, anyway, I don't think he knew anything about it. It doesn't seem like. So I leave it open on the backyard photo because there's just so much uncertainty, but I tend to think it's probably not reliable and probably not him.
If it came from the Payne garage, it starts at 80-20, that it's not reliable. I mean, it starts there. Anything that leaves that Payne garage has to be viewed with a ton of skepticism because that was the clearinghouse to make sure the narrative got out.
Yeah.
And it had to be perfectly set up. And it was, she befriended Marina, got him in the house. Okay. Now we got a place to store all the Lee's shit, because if it would have been just Lee's house, if they would have rented a house, then he would have been able to go through the garage. But since all his shit was in the garage, he didn't have to go through it. It was just there. Right. He wasn't thinking anybody was putting anything in it. And therefore, it also doesn't explain the clothes, because if his clothes were in the garage and he was missing his black pants and his black shirt, he'd have been looking for it. But obviously, he wasn't.
Right. Yeah, you make some good points, man. Like you always do. I appreciate you coming on, Lambo. Good stuff, man.
I love it. Thank you so much, Matt. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. We'll keep promoting this thing. Somebody just do me one favor. Read Marina Oswald's testimony. It's on Mary Farrell. And if you give her any credibility, God bless you.
Which one do you want? Should people focus on the Garrison or
I think the one with the Garrison one, okay. The Garrison one. I thought that was really good.
Good. Good, good. All right. Well, hey, we appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have you on again, Michael. Appreciate it, man. Thank
I
you
so
much. So.
All thanks, right. Matt.
Talk to you. Next week on Solving JFK, we'll be pivoting to Oswald's time in New Orleans.
Looking to buy your dream home? Or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.